Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right. The Bills get back at it this week. Miami, if that constitutes getting back at it. I know it's the NFL. You're never supposed to say that or think like that. The players are, to some extent or another, surely attempting to resist that temptation this week. Sal was off last week. Are you still at Legoland? Did you get out of there?
Yeah, Legoland actually was pretty wide open. I think I've discovered the secret, which is go in a midweek, midday in October, because most kids are in school and you kind of have the park to yourself. Now, Hollywood Studios was the only Disney park we went to, and it was still, comparatively to Disney, it was still relatively light, but it was super busy. But, you know, Disney is usually more so. I have no idea how you do four parks. All four in one day?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We were at the fourth park. We were at Epcot before dark, too, and it was not like just get in, say you were there, and leave either.
It was unbelievable.
I will tell you sometime. Like, it was well executed, and my kids... You know, we're the stars, because your kids are 9 and 8, and if they get, it's super hot, and yeah, right, they get tired right. or hungry, they could lose it, so but they the never lost it.
Yeah,
right. So I got.
Did they actually get to do things, or did you like run the Disney marathon through the four parks and just say, "Hey, how you doing?" And
no.
and high five the characters on your way through.
No, what I meant by what I said earlier was we did not do that. Like, we went on the rides at Animal Kingdom, three or four rides at Magic Kingdom, and had lunch. Rides at Hollywood, the Toy Story Mania, that's probably my favorite ride in any of the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Epcot Food and Wine Festival and Spaceship Earth, couldn't get on Soarin'. You sacrifice a couple rides you like when you do this, but still, like, it was something that I felt like was kind of a feat.
Well, respect to you. That is really cool and awesome.
I got to tell you one more thing about Florida. You're kind of a Florida guy, right? You lived there.
Yeah, yeah. Lived there for almost two decades.
So, we go every year, same thing. You rent a car and... You know, I never really think about it beforehand. Get in the rental car, start on my way. The airport is, what, east of Orlando, if not northeast? I don't know. It's like out a ways. And then where I'm going is either south of Orlando or even farther west. So you get on that toll road, Sal. And every year I have the same moment where I'm like, I don't know if I have the pass, like the sun pass.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
So Thursday, we didn't leave until evening. I didn't have time to go to work, so I had kind of the whole day. And I thought about this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to look this up. And I saw that Easy Pass works. So I took my Easy Pass out of my car and took it down there. And I was all, like, excited. So then I come to realize how. I mean, there were signs, and I was kind of confused. And eventually, I talked to somebody working one of these toll booths. Then I come to realize there's county toll roads and state toll roads, and the Easy Pass works on one but not the other. So you not only have to recognize that you're on a toll road, but you have to know which toll road, because one will have Easy Pass. So I think, again, for like the fourth year in a row, I'm going to get dinged through Hertz for running right. through the toll booth. And so this is like Friday, and now it's Sunday, and I've processed all this, and we get to a toll. I'm like, you know what? I can't take the chance. I'm pulling off into the cash lane, and I'll pay the toll this way. I put the Easy Pass away because I don't even know if it's going to work. Get up there, Sal. Nobody's there. There's one or two lanes, and they're like the little basket like they used to have in at BlackRock, like the little basket at exact change. And there's no other option. You can't put a dollar bill in it. You can't put a credit card in it.
And you're in a rental car, so you don't have change lying around like you would in your own car.
Exactly. So you got to put four quarters in there. I had three. I threw a nickel in there and then drove. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? There's nobody there. Like, there's no move.
This won't surprise you, Mike, at all. Sal, we know each other pretty well. We've been working together a while. But I don't know if you know, like, just the depth of my, just the things that make me crazy. taking my Easy Pass thing out of my vehicle to take on vacation with me would have ruined my whole vacation because I would have been thinking the whole time about not forgetting it in the rental car. Like, I would have just been thinking, I'm going to forget that. I know, damn it, I'm going to forget that thing. I would have been thinking about it constantly.
All I know is I thought about it, and I was prepared. And, like, this time I'm going to have the Easy Pass so I don't get charged. And I bet I got charged twice. Once for the first thing, I didn't know which toll it was. And the second one for not having exact change. And I'll probably get, you know, a bill.
Well, we always think about it, but we just basically decide beforehand we'll go through the cash lanes. And it's not a big deal. I don't know, though. I don't know if all the different rolls and tolls and roads, like you just said, have cash lanes. But the ones that we were on and the ones in Orlando, they do. So I just do that. But I did notice Easy Pass. Then there's one called E-Pass. And it's not Easy Pass.
Right.
And you think, oh, wait, that's not Easy. That's E. So it does get very confusing. And on a rental car, I have a quick story. I left sunglasses in my rental car. And I left them up in the compartment above the rearview mirror where you click it. You put the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Didn't think about it until well after checking the rental car in. On our way to the airport, I realized it. I actually sent an email, and they said, well, we didn't find anything, but the car's already been rented out. So now I'm at the mercy of maybe the next people finding the sunglasses. And I usually buy very cheap sunglasses, like dollar store sunglasses, because I lose or break sunglasses. This was not a cheap pair. So now I'm waiting to hear if I don't know if I did it right, if that was the right play, but I emailed and that's how it's working out. So I called, nobody answered. I don't know what to do. So I'm hoping something happens here.
Oh, that happened on this trip?
Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought you were actually going to say that you got the glasses back.
No, that'd just be incredible. Happened. I don't have the glasses.
All right. We're still kind of, at least in my case, I'll speak for myself, in bye week mode here, and that needs to change.
Right. We do have a game, right?
Yes, there is a game. And Sal, I mean, you know the number. You follow this stuff too. 16.5. A number the likes of which the Bills have not been favored by since 1992. Like, what does it tell you? What is, like, the ratio here for, is it, I don't know if this is exactly the right question, like 50-50 or something like that, but, I mean, Miami is getting points like this all the time. Not against Washington, but, you know, the New England game and other games. Dallas, they think they were 21-point underdogs. What's your impression of that number?
16.5, you mean, for the Bills?
Yeah.
I think it's right. I think it's more of an indictment on Miami than it is, you know, anything towards the Bills. I think anybody that plays Miami is going to be a favorite. Even Washington was on the road last week, even though they were winless. But at this point, you know, the Dolphins are just such a bad football team and everybody knows what they're doing. They have such a lack of talent everywhere that they're going to be underdogs no matter where they go, and probably close to, if not double digit underdogs in most situations. I think that it's understandable to me why the Bills would be 16.5-point underdogs. The Bills were four favorites. Mm-hmm. The Bills were 16.5-point underdogs at Minnesota last year, if you remember. They actually won the game. But, you know, I think that was a bit different than this situation where the Minnesota was seen as this team that was very good in the NFC. They were really kind of an NFC type of favorite. Now, the Bills may be having a 4-1 record right now. I don't think people see them that way necessarily yet. They know they have a very good defense. This is more about the Miami Dolphins just are horrible, and we can't make spreads big enough no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, that's my read too, because the Bills offense, I mean, they're moving the ball, their yards are respectable, but they haven't scored a lot of points. They've only scored 28 points in the one game in New York against the Giants in week two. So I think it's Miami's ineptitude more than it is like the Bills are just going to, you know, get fat on you. But, you know, with all that said, it is an opportunity. Like Josh Allen, maybe his two best games last year, even though they split them, winning at home, losing on the road. I think Allen played well against Miami, and maybe it's a chance for the offense to kind of get, you know, find some things that they can count on as the season gets into the second half.
Agreed. You know, every Tuesday I posted, this morning I did it when I got up, I post the rankings of the Bills offense, the rankings of the Bills defense. Now, we all know points are really all that matters at the end of the day, but I think fans like to see where they are. And right now the Bills offense is actually ranked pretty good, I think, at least average in most situations. They're 10th in the league in yards per game. They're 6th in the league in rushing yards per game, and they're 10th in rushing yards per play. But you go to the passing, they're 19th and 20th in game and play per yard. And I think, you know, a game like this could really kind of push them up into that area. But I think that would be surprising to a lot of people who look and say, well, look, the offense, they've only scored 18 points a game. But, like you said, like they're moving the ball a little bit. You know, and they're actually doing some things. I think this is a game where you might have an opportunity to get a little bit more fat on those numbers and see. So, yep, I agree. And then looking at the weather, it's supposed to be a pretty nice day, kind of like today, actually. So it might be a situation where the Bills feel, and, you know, they're going to go out there bye week, rested. Guys are coming back from injury. We'll see how that works out, and they might be able to do that.
With Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. We'll see tomorrow and as the week goes through, but Devin Singletary should be, I think, closer to playing, if not like likely to play. What do you see the role being here, Sal, once he is, you know, active? Like, you go back to week one and he spelled Gore, week two the same kind of thing, but it was never like his backfield or anything like that. Do you see, is there any reason to think it wouldn't be like that?
No, I think it's still going to be Gore as the main guy. Maybe not who's in on the first play. I don't think matters. I think Singletary actually started.
He did, and he played like 60 or 70% of the snaps in the opener. That's why I remember sitting in here going, he's the running back. And then he got hurt late in the Giant game, and like that all changed.
Right.
So there has been, you know, and Gore's been good. So I think it's probably with Singletary coming back, not his gig, but they started the season with him as their running back, I felt.
They did, I think, as far as the snap count, like you said. But they didn't give him the ball like they give
him
Frank
Gore. That's right.
I wonder if they just kind of stick to that plan. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, going forward here, at least for the little while, until we get into like November, December, really it's going to be mostly that, which is, you know, Singletary's going to get a lot of snaps. He's going to be on the field. He needs to see football. He needs to do a lot of things. But we're not going to wear this guy out. You know, Frank Gore, he's been worn out already for 15 years. He's fine. We can do that.
He can take the beating. Yeah, right.
That's right. You know, and he is coming off an injury, so I wouldn't expect this week him to get a huge workload. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that I wrote about was I think Sean McDermott has been very, very smart in the way he's played these injuries. Now, it could have backfired. There's no doubt. But the fact that they've won these games by sitting Devin Singletary, by sitting Taron Johnson, when they were trending towards playing, I think he's shown through his actions that he understands and he wants it to be known to his own team that this season is a marathon and not a sprint. And we're not going to sacrifice guys going out there because we coach everybody and it's up to you to fill in for them. And they've done that. So I don't expect him to just suddenly, hey, Devin Singletary, that would be counter to what he's kind of done so far. I think Devin Singletary is going to be a role player. He's going to have his opportunities, but really probably get more and more work as far as touching the ball as the season goes.
Sal, what do you think at this point in time the gap is between the Bills and New England?
I don't think there's a gap on defense. I think there's still a gap on offense. So if you want to look at it from that way, the gap is closing. It's still there, though. It's still there because of them having the ability. They have Tom Brady still, and he's seen everything in this league. They figure out ways to get matchups to, on defense especially, confuse like a Bills young quarterback, Josh Allen. The Bills do a great job on defense. They have against Tom Brady. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and I think they can beat them if they go down to New England in week 16, but it's going to be a tough task. So from that respect, if I thought about that game, week 16, if they were to play that game now, if that game was coming up this week or next week, I don't think the Bills would be, to me, I wouldn't pick them to win, but I would certainly think that they could keep it as close as they did last time and have an opportunity to win. So the gap is a lot closer than it used to be, I guess.
Go ahead.
Do you happen to know, Sal, when the league has to decide when that game will be played? I've looked a few different places, you know, and there's always
it's basically 2 weeks from today.
Okay. 2 weeks.
They have to decide no later than the end of week 8. And I think the end of the week means after Monday Night Football into Tuesday.
Okay, well, that's pretty soon. Like I thought it was.
Yeah, they have to make the decision well in advance. So we will know this. I'm assuming on Tuesday, 2 weeks from now, but it could be as late as maybe Friday or something like that.
Okay.
They got to do it before week 9, though, for sure.
Okay, so it's not like a regular flex type situation because there's so many teams involved and so many games. Because there's how many games
Correct.
Are there? There's Bills, Patriots, Lions, Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, Rams, Niners, Texans, Buccaneers. Any one of those games, and there's 3 spots available for Saturday. So you've got a lot more than just the inconvenience of a couple of fan bases when you flex a Sunday game into a Sunday night, for instance.
Yeah, and I think NFL Network needs time because this is something they don't normally have or do, so they're going to,
okay.
You know what I mean, to put all these games on there and stuff like that. I think that's where they're all going to be, I believe.
Well, shoot, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sorry.
And then you're going to have all times, could be a 1 o'clock, could be a 4 o'clock, could be a prime time, all right. That kind of stuff.
I'm a little bummed out to hear that because I was hoping to get a little more road here so the Bills could establish make that game look more like a game that's really going to matter in the division, and I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to really prove that within a couple of weeks here.
But I don't think it has to matter. I mean, you can look at the other games and figure out what they're likely to mean, but the Bills are probably a playoff team. And even if they're not in contention for first place, still, like, that's an interesting game, and they should be a relevant team by week 16. I think that's almost already, well, it's not decided or anything, but we're on that track. Well, you're watching Kansas City lose these two games. Like, what is it? I ask about New England because I don't want to settle. I don't want to be settling in week 7, you know, thinking about the Bills as necessarily only a team that can go to the playoffs and then get outclassed, you know? And Kansas City, I mean, they've lost. They've lost their last two games at home in the conference. What are you thinking in terms of this?
Well, I think Kansas City has become a team that has become overly and too much reliable on Patrick Mahomes. For some reason, they're just not running the football. They're not trying to run the football. If I can relate to a hockey thing, I remember years ago, Lindy had the quote where he said, "We have to stop trying to score ourselves out of situations," or something like that.
Score ourselves out of trouble, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what Kansas City is. They're trying to Patrick Mahomes themselves out of trouble all the time. And when maybe the answer is, hey, you know, like, we have Williams and we have LeSean McCoy and we can run the football, and they're not doing that. And it seems to me that teams are just saying, okay, well, you know, you're going to be a one-dimensional team here. And that's, I think, where they are right now. And until that gets fixed, I'd be concerned if I was a Kansas City Chiefs fan, because suddenly he's a little bit banged up. And teams for the last 2 weeks have been kind of slowing down that passing game a little bit. And it seems like they're just banging their head against the wall saying, nope, we got Patrick Mahomes and he's great and we're going to win the game like that. Whereas it looks like the Houston Texans are a team to really think about here. I watched most of that game, and boy, they can play defense, and they have a guy in Deshaun Watson where, I'll tell you guys, if Deshaun Watson switched roles right now with Patrick Mahomes, he'd have the same kind of numbers, the same kind of career, I think, so far that Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid as head coach. I think Deshaun Watson is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. The Chiefs' defense is a real problem, and they're going to end up in that predicament a lot more often if they can't stop. Like, they can't prevent first downs. The Colts and the Texans just kept piling up first downs. And, you know, at one point, Houston had 79 plays to Kansas City's 47. Yeah. That's not Kansas City's offensive game plan. That's just like they're not on the field. And by the way, on the Chiefs, McCoy looks really slow and old to me. Like, I was not a fan of his really ever here. And by the last year or so, like, why are we still doing this? And, you know, I respect Reed. You have to. And his career and what he knows, and he worked with McCoy. He had McCoy, of course, in Philadelphia. I mean, they have a guy, Darrell Williams, who is third. I guess you have to call him third there, but he looks really good. Just, you know, rookies, they don't always get a turn. And you have, like, Henderson with the Rams. They had Gurley, and then they went to Malcolm Brown, and then finally they went to Henderson, and he was great. And Sanders now starting with the Eagles a little bit, starting to go. I don't know. Like, I don't really see why they need McCoy, I guess, bottom line.
No, I understand that, but I think Andy Reid's relationship with him, knowing that what he's done for him in the past, LeSean wanting to go there and accepting whatever role they were going to give him, it made sense to me. But, again, it goes back to, what are they doing there? I don't think they're really trying to commit to anything running the football. It's, hey, we're the Patrick Mahomes team, and, you know, when we can run the football, we'll try and figure it out as we go, and it's not working out for them right now. I listened to Colin Cowherd today give his herd hierarchy. I like Colin a little bit. And he had the Chiefs 9 and the Bills 8. And it was kind of surprising to me to hear that just from someone from the outside looking in. You know, I like to get the outside perspective. And, you know, people are not as high on Kansas City, I think, for what they've done. And people are starting to notice what the Bills have done. And then it got me thinking, well, boy, if I had to rank all the teams in the AFC, I think, really, you could make a case for the Bills, the Chiefs, the Texans, any one of those teams to be number 2 in the conference. I know the Bills have the second best record.
Or the Colts.
But you could really make the you could make the case for several teams to be number 2 through 5 or 6.
Colts, maybe the Ravens, although the Cleveland loss looks bad. It's not Cleveland.
Right. No, that's right.
All right. Very good. Sal, these are really these are really exciting times. Yeah, we called you on a Tuesday because this is really fun right now.
Yeah, while the Yankees and then Altuve hits a home run in the first inning, I see.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. You
Severino.
Good job not reacting to that while we were talking.
Yeah, thanks.
We're focused on toll lanes and
right.
You know,
the game was the game was scheduled to start at like 4:08 at 4:10. I happened to open up and say, "What's the score in the game? It just started."
1-0.
And it said 1-0. What Altuve, come on.
Well, he just threw his 30th pitch. Two out, two on for Alvarez is 3-0. What kind of pace are we on for this game? Oh, 9 o'clock?
Holy cow, right. This is a 20-minute first half inning. Right.
Save us, Garrett Cole. He probably will.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome, guys.
I had a Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline, and his appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. We need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case.
Bills Patriots comparisons, Bills Dolphins, Bills Chiefs, where they really rank in the AFC. We're doing it. 803-0550. We'll talk some Sabres too. A fine start for them. They go out west and they'll play in Anaheim tomorrow night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, give us a call. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He uses like a whippy stick, and that's like the modern. These younger guys have these whippy sticks, and it's really hard to pick up the release. And the puck flight isn't like a flat. It kind of like floats a bit. It almost is like a riser, and it's hard to save in practice. So I can't imagine when he's bombing them on the power play and there's traffic and stuff. So he's, he's a pure goal scorer, that's for sure.
Got to be Carter Hutton talking about Olofsson, I assume.
You betcha.
What does he have, six?
Five.
Five. I'm rushing him. Yep. When am I going to calm down?
Yeah, he didn't score at all against Florida.
did he go in the shootout?
It was terrible. No, the shootout went Jack, who scored, and... maybe Reinhardt was second.
Yep.
Middlestat went third and scored, and they won it.
That was the winner?
Yeah, that was
what was the tying goal like? 10 seconds?
Yeah, it was a scramble. They didn't, to me, look – it was right in front of us where we were sitting. They didn't look unglued or anything. I think someone in front had a hold of Ristolainen stick that kept him from getting out on – I guess it was Hoffman, I think, who scored the goal. Hockey. I liked him. It would have been nice to get that in regulation against a division opponent, just like Montreal two nights prior. But even though they blew two goal leads in both of those games, I didn't feel at all like hemmed in, under siege, any of that. They got their goals.
I should apologize for not having seen these plays, being on a trip. I just did not have. Really,
it's
time for the Sabres.
It's going to be challenging to keep track of.
I was outside.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know what I tried to do?
It's early.
I'll tell you this. So, Sunday morning, it was Carolina versus Tampa Bay football in London. 9:30 game, right? And I'm in Kissimmee, Champions Gate. So, like, almost halfway between Orlando and Tampa, but a little closer to Orlando. And like, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I want to do tomorrow morning? Hey, guys, is it all right if I sort of go off in the morning, then I'll meet you at your brother's? I want to find a place to watch Bucks Panthers.
Right.
Like a bar where...
Bucks fans.
Maybe, probably, yeah. Right. Like, yeah, there'd be some atmosphere. What's going to be open? Where should I go? I even went to Twitter and asked, anybody down here know, like, what's the spot for this? And I got some responses, looked into some of them. And the response was... overall tepid. And everything I searched on Google was like, there were bars.
Yeah.
But this is where I thought about like Buffalo and how, as everybody here knows and takes great pride in, you can go anywhere and there's a Bills bar there.
Right.
And you go, you're in any other NFL city or maybe even any other city, and there's a place where Bills fans live and they go to that place. And it's not that hard to find out just from scratch, where that place is.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law is a Bills fan. He went to UB. He lives in Orlando. And he goes to this one bar to watch the Bills. I forget the name of it. He's like, this is where you go. And so, you know, I guess I had it in my mind, you know, to some extent, that there'd be 32 of these places in every city right. for every other team.
Right. No.
And the Buccaneers are right over there.
I don't think it works that way.
And I got the sense that, like, nobody's into it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, relatively. So he and I talked about that, and you know Buffalo's reputation is strong, to say the least, in this area. And Florida teams is the opposite. Their reputation is the opposite.
If you were in Florida and the Bills were playing at 9:30 in the morning, there would have been a scene somewhere.
Right.
There would have been a bar that would have been like, hey, these are the places. I'm going to make it plural. These are the places you want to go.
Yes.
That would have been your response. No doubt about it.
Yes.
I don't think every team in the league is close to that. I just don't. I just, you know, it's just not as much transient. You know, I mean, so many people that are Bills fans that moved, south. So, like, that makes it work. You know, I think bigger cities, people maybe stay put, so their fan bases aren't as widespread around the country. But, you know.
I just did not find.
Yeah.
It might have existed. And maybe in Tampa there were places.
Did you get out or no?
I went to Disney Springs. And my wife and kids went shopping like they wanted to do. It was like a good compromise, an idea that worked for everybody. I sat at a patio bar at Disney Springs and watched the first half of Carolina-Tampa Bay.
All right.
Which, you know, was interesting. Jameis Winston had 6 turnovers by himself in that game.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They are exasperating, the Bucs.
I did not see a minute of that game, but I heard all about it.
The Bucs, there are a few teams like this. They just, what's the problem? What is the problem? And I think this is probably true with Tampa, it was in this game, it's going to be pass protection. It's just there's breakdowns up front, and Winston got hit a lot. Like, he was often under pressure, but there were also times when he stood back there all day and then got hit. And you hate that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got this O.J. Howard on Tampa Bay, who in 2 years in the league has been elite at downfield receiving. Like, he maybe is first in the league both years.
It seems like maybe now they've forgotten that he can catch.
They don't even throw it to him.
Yeah.
They remember the game against the Bills?
Yeah.
He had 2 touchdowns in that game. Maybe he had a long one.
Yeah.
Down the left sideline for Tampa Bay in that game at the stadium. Like, he's nice. So I wanted the Bills to draft him that was kind of a cool idea to me. Who did they get? Is that the year? That's the year they traded out and Mahomes.
Tre'Davious White. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bruce Arians seems to have a pretty good reputation for offense, for being a football coach. He punts all the time and nobody notices, but whatever. And he's got this O.J. Howard, and they don't even, like, he might as well just be a sled. He could be Lee Smith.
Right.
They use him like he's Lee Smith.
Nobody minds that he punts because he wears those cool hats.
Yeah, no, he's a good quote, so you never get really any kind of an analysis about what kind of job he's doing.
Personality, the hats, that works for him.
So how do you reconcile that? In some of these teams, you just can't believe it. How do they not know basic things? This guy was really a really good weapon, and they just basically treat him like he's on IR. They just don't have him. He just doesn't matter at all. And then you have Evans, who's really good, and Godwin, who is really good, and they're getting their stats, but why they ever run the ball? And you know who else is like this? The Chargers are like this. The Chargers are super annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday Night Football. Devlin Hodges. Right? Touchdown favorite.
I think that's duck to you and me.
Duck Hodges. They got out of that game before you even sat down.
Yeah.
So bad.
14-0. Like.
14-0, 21-0.
Yeah.
Their first play, when it's 0-0, their first play is like a 20-yard pass to Hunter Henry. All right. He's back. We got Hunter Henry. We got Mike Williams, who's good. We've got, of course, Keenan Allen, who's good. We've got Gordon back from his holdout, and Eckler can catch the ball. We're all set. The next 2 plays are just runs up the middle, like wasted plays. And they end up punting after the next play, and it's 21-0, and it's game over. They're punting down 24-3 on 4th-and-3 in the second half. I mean, just fire that guy. What are you even doing? What do you have to think about here? Look at this talent. Let's go. The good teams throw the ball. You're running up the middle all the time. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. Rivers looks – Joe, we were talking about this – yeah, that was today. Yeah, it was the first time we're all together here and in studio in a while. We both separately had the same thought about Rivers watching that game. He's always had that funny throwing motion, but to me, watching him play Sunday night, it looked more labored than ever. It looked really awkward to me. And you should be used to how he throws the ball by now. If you watched him play his whole career, he's been in the league a long time. He's been, really productive. I don't know that there's not something going on there. Watching that game, that was what I thought. And maybe that's why they're not throwing it all the time, because something's wrong with him, and I don't know.
There's always something wrong with the Chargers.
But man, he looked weird to me throwing the ball on Sunday. Weirder than ever. Like, it's always, like I said, it's always been a little, the release has always been a little goofy, but I don't know. Something seems not right there.
What a dumb team.
Yeah. Speaking of dumb teams, this Browns guy, the coach of the Browns, they got the gift of a horrible punt and then scored anyway. But there was a sequence in that game. It was a close game with Seattle, and they turned it over like either in the end zone or right at the goal line twice. Some of that was bad luck, like deflected, whatever. But they had this sequence down there before they scored to go ahead. With like 6 or 7 minutes, I guess, maybe to go, it was where they were going to run a fourth down play and went to run it, but it was there. It was like a handoff to Chubb, and it was there, and the whistles blew late. And it's one of those, you don't know if the defense stopped because of the whistles things, but it didn't look like that to me. But they challenged the previous play, which had already been reviewed. It was like this weird Landry was reaching for the end zone and he hit a guy's hip and the ball came out and they had to review if it was a fumble or a completed catch, all this stuff. And then they line up, they run a play, they're going to get the go-ahead touchdown, but Kitchens throws the flag late to review whether Landry broke the plane of the end zone on the previous play. They review it. He didn't. There was no good look at it, which you should have been able to know or been told that. And then they got stuffed. They ran the exact same play then on fourth down that Chubb looked like he was going to score on the first time that didn't count. Ran it again. He got jammed, turned over on downs. They scored on the next sequence because they got it was like a 15-yard punt or something. But I'm watching that going, this coach is they're going to kill this guy. This team, those players they're going to kill this guy.
Did you go to that game?
I did not go to that game.
I thought you were going to that game.
I was home. That game was so long because of all this nonsense.
It was long.
I got home and saw almost the whole fourth quarter.
Yep. It went back to 4:30 or something, maybe later.
Yeah, it was very late.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We want to talk football. We'll get to some Sabres again, too. 803-0550. This is WGR.
All right, here's a giveaway for you. First one of the week. We got a pair of tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. This performance is Saturday, December 14th at 8 p.m. at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of this prize is $100. Comes courtesy of Metamorphic Concerts. General contest rules apply. For more info or to buy your own tickets, you can go to tickets.com or win a pair right now. 644-9878, caller 5.
It's coming up.
It is.
I've decided I'm going to say that every day.
Okay.
It's coming up. Mm-hmm. It's 2 months away. Mm-hmm. It's not really coming up, but I'm still going to say it. Joe is with us. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Earlier you were talking about Bills bars in different cities, and they have the Cheerful Bullpen in Portland, Oregon. Pretty much saved my life. It's unbelievable. Everyone there is from Rochester or Buffalo, and at the Timbers bar as well. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I was running. It's bars well, and all the Timber fans will sit there when their game comes in and be like, where are all these crazy fans? And everyone's from Buffalo or Rochester, upstate New York. It's just a great place to go watch a Bills game. It feels like you're back in Buffalo.
Yeah, I've got a friend out there. I wonder if he knows about it. His name is Jake. You know him, Joe? You ever run into Jake at this place?
I have not, but I'm sure if he's a Bills fan, he definitely knows of the bar, and he's probably been there.
Yeah, and he's a Timbers fan, big one, so maybe he knows it.
He's definitely gone there then. Just ask next time about the Cheerful Bullpen. It's right across from the this Timber Stadium on Southwest Taylor.
I will. Thank you, Joe.
Timbers, is that MLS?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my experience in Florida was, I'm just going to go hang out with some Bucks fans and see what that's like. I convinced my in-laws that this would be good for me for work.
Oh, yeah.
That I would be able to come back with a story, what it's like what kind of a scene is there. And I don't know, there probably was a place in Tampa, but I just got nowhere trying to find a place near Orlando. I mean, just nowhere. 9:30 in the morning, that's a great bar outing where your team is playing, the Bills played in London. Actually, did we all just go to London? I mean, that's this team, which is...
Right.
It's so interesting right now seeing this fan base get paid off a little bit. Like, they go to Nashville for that. Overall, fans go to Nashville for that game, thousands and thousands of people. By now, and that's a lot of young people, right, that don't even remember the Bills being good, ever. They're not going there expecting to win. They might win. You have an opinion, but it's not like the deal is contingent upon the Bills going there to beat the Titans.
They went there with the 3-1 record. Those fans are going if the record's 1-3.
Of course. You're planning it months in advance. You don't even know. So you just, you know, it's the pilgrimage. It's not even about winning the game as much as it is just like being there for it. And it's like, in a weird way, all these years of losing have just like made it stronger. That... Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's not that it doesn't matter if we win, but it's like, that's not the point. The point isn't that the Bills win the game. The point is that we're here anyway.
You're not stopping us.
You're not stopping us. We're coming.
Yeah.
We don't need to be the Patriots. We don't need to be a winning team. We're just going to shove our crazy passion for the Bills right down your throats in your stadium, and you're gonna remember it. And if we lose, whatever. Still going to do it. It's just like it almost maybe somehow has gotten stronger because of the losing. Like, it's just not detached in a certain way. It's really, really cool right now. 803-0550 for us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. What do you think? We've got Miami here, 16.5. What a crazy line. I mean, the Bills are, at this point of this season, a 16.5 point favorite for a game. It's just mind-boggling. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just... incredible. Great time for the fans right now. Great time of year. We're into it. Give us a call. You want to talk about it some more? This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.